Good evening. We are going to be in 1 Thessalonians 5 this evening. Yes. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 8 through 13, and we've been moving through 1 Thessalonians. Last time we talked about the day of the Lord, and I realized I've been kind of preaching this out of sorts. I had preached 14 and on, and now I was kind of in between 8 and 13 because we stopped last time at 7. So tonight we're going to be 8 through 13, and there's a bit of a jog. It's all under the same kind of line of thought that Paul has, but there will be a slight shift, and we'll talk about that when we get to it. So 1 Thessalonians 5, 8 through 13. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as also you are doing. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. So Paul is talking, or rather writing to the church about knowledge that they as believers in and followers of Christ needed to know. God had started a church through Paul, and as we know, shortly thereafter he had to leave because his ministry in effect had saved many people, but at the same time had also angered many people. So Paul had to depart. And we've talked about this in retrospect. It is good for us as current believers that he had to leave because we have the book of 1 Thessalonians as a result of that. And it gives us instruction regarding what we as Christians are supposed to be doing, working on our sanctification as well as our relationship with God. And our sanctification, if we were to boil it down, could be termed as all about removing obstacles that are in our way to our relationship with God. Working towards perfecting ourselves, which we will not reach until the day of the Lord, but nonetheless, we are to be striving towards diligently until Christ returns, because that is what God has instructed us to do. The last time, as I said, we've spoken about the day of the Lord, that glorious day when Christ will return. And I think it is important as we are starting out this evening to do a bit of review on that so that we are reminded of the context that we are in here with Paul. What we must not lose sight of as we are going through this portion of Scripture is the fact that it relates to our sanctification, the work that we do with the help of the Holy Spirit until the day of the Lord, or until we go to be with him. On that day, we will be with him, and we will be like him. So, under our sanctification, what are we to be doing internally in regards to our faith and the assurance of our salvation, and also working under our sanctification with the help of the Holy Spirit? What have we been commanded by God to do in relation to those brothers and sisters around us and to those brothers and sisters who are over us? Before we go any farther, let's ask the Lord's help as we look at his word tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come to your church, to your house, Father, to hear your word. We pray for the message tonight that it reaches those that you would have it reach. We thank you for the Holy Word. We thank you for all that you have given to us. We thank you that you are the God that you are, and there is no other. We ask your blessing tonight as we study your word, as we go through it. Help it to change us. Help it to move us. Help us to be more like what you would have us to be. We ask all this in Jesus' strong name. Amen. But let those who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. Those of us who are of the day are those who have been saved by God. Those who have been saved have faith and salvation, which also has been given to them by God. Paul here again uses the term sober. He also uses the term the breastplate of faith and love, and the hope, the helmet of the hope of salvation. What is he talking about? Paul often spoke of the Christian life in military terms. Now, we touched last time briefly about this idea of being sober, not so much in regards to drinking, but more in terms of not letting one's guard down, of being being vigilant. Thank you. My English is failing me up here. Of being watchful, like a sentry on guard at a military post. In the late 1990s, my brother Dan, after completing Marine Corps boot camp at Parris Island, was sent to the Marine Corps base at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, for advanced infantry training, or AIT. While he was stationed there, Brian, who was still at school at Michigan State, had a week of spring break, and we decided to tool down the East Coast, playing golf and closing out as many all-you-can-eat seafood restaurants as there were along our way to our ultimate destination of Myrtle Beach. We thought, since we would be in the area, it might be interesting to drop in and see what Dan was up to at Camp Lejeune. So we set up a visit. Brian and I pull up to the front gate, and out steps a United States Marine who was standing post in the guard shack there at the front gate. Do you want to know what is more intimidating than a United States Marine? Not much. This guy was what the Marines would call squared away. He stepped up to the car crisply, and Brian and I both noticed the authority in his step and the Beretta 9mm pistol he had strapped to his hip, and the fact that this guy was monstrously huge. Brian remarked later that he looked like the guy who had eaten the two guys who were supposed to be on guard in the guard shack. He was very, very intimidating. And he was all business and no nonsense. He did a quick sweep of the interior of the car with his eyes and asked us to pull over past the guard shack. He honestly could have asked for the car at that point, and I would have given it to him, along with the keys, all the luggage in it, and Brian. We're just in North Carolina. It's not that far to walk back to Michigan. We pulled over. They run mirrors along the underside of the car checking for explosives, and this massive Marine asks us for some identification and what our purpose and business is at Camp Lejeune. We explained why we were there. He took our IDs, went back to the guard shack, and we thought, we're done. It's all over for us. He comes back, hands us our IDs, and with a slight smile on his face says, "You gentlemen are from Michigan. You're Wolverines. Hoorah, right?" Brian and I were both Spartans, but we were not going to correct him. He got us an escort and finally took us in to see my brother. We are to be as watchful and as serious as that Marine sentry was in regards to what we are supposed to be doing as brothers and sisters in Christ. We are to be working on our sanctification and eagerly waiting for the Lord's return. We are not to stop working on our sanctification, and we are not to step away from our relationship with the Lord, though there are times when we might do that. If we do, we are not to get discouraged. We are to pick ourselves up, dust ourselves off, repent, and return to our relationship. We are to be alert to the areas in our lives where we are not doing what we ought to be doing. And the Holy Spirit is the one who makes us aware of the sin that is in our lives. He will convict us, and he does a very good job. We are to be on watch not only to the sin in our lives, but to be doing something about that sin in our lives. Paul talks about putting on the breastplate of faith and love. Now, a breastplate was a piece of armor that protected the one wearing it. So too, our faith protects us from the temptation to sin. We are talking about our belief in God and who God is. To the extent that we can understand him, to the extent that we can read within his word the promises that he has made, we know that God is immutable. That means he will not change. The promises that he has made in his word, he will fulfill. When we sin, we turn away from the truth of God toward the lies and the sin of Satan. Our belief in God is what protects us from falling into that. Put on the breastplate of our faith and our love, our faith in God and our love in God and who he is and in what he has promised us. And as a helmet, the hope of salvation. In warfare during Paul's time, the head was a prime target. For even if your strike to the head did not outright kill your opponent, oftentimes it did, but if it didn't, there was a very good possibility that you would stagger him or stun him. The helmet protected the head. Paul was writing to believers. Satan is not going to waste his time attacking the lost, because of what benefit to him would that be? Satan is going to do his best to attack those of us who are believers in the one and true living God. If we are a believer, we have been given salvation from God. We have to respond by believing, but nothing and no one can take that salvation away from us. Satan has already lost. Christ defeated him at the cross, but Satan has not realized it. He cannot take away our salvation, but he can shake our faith, our assurance in our salvation. And that is what he tries to do. He does not want us to work on our sanctification. He wants us to fall. That little voice in our heads that talks to us in half-truths and lies, that tells us that it is all up to us and reminds us of the fact that we do not measure up. Protect your head with the hope of salvation. God has already won. Our hope is in him and in his promises. We have talked about hope before and how it is applied today and how it is applied oftentimes in the Bible. Our view of hope today in our society is not what it is in the Bible. Our hope today is a desire for something that may or may not happen. Well, I hope there's no traffic on my way into work today. Or I hope Michigan State wins the game against Michigan. That is not the hope that Paul is talking about here. Our salvation, if we belong to him, if we are saved, is assured. Hope here is the expectation of what is sure to happen. If we are saved, the promise of the Lord's return and our eternity spent with Him, that is sure to happen. Those who are in Christ but have died, it is assured for them that they will be there on the day of the Lord. If we do not have that assurance of the fact that Christ will one day return, of the fact that we are His, if we do not, our witness, our very comfort, our assurance is shaken. Our witness is seriously hampered, and not only that, what an awful way to live. We take great comfort in the fact that the victory has already been won. We can have confidence in our salvation. We know that we are saved. We know where we are going to spend eternity. We strive then to work on our sanctification as well as our relationship with the Lord in the comfort of these truths. And what truth are we talking about? Paul brings it up in the very next verse. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. As believers in Christ, we will not face the eternal wrath of God. There is only one way to salvation, and that is through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God chose us for salvation, and we responded to that by putting our faith in Christ. But it is nothing that we have done. We respond only after God has called us. If God does not call, we cannot respond. But make no mistake about it, God is the only one who saves us. And the way that He saves us is through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is the only way. If we try to do it ourselves, or we think that we have a way to salvation that does not involve the Son, we are mistaken. John 3:36, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. If we have salvation, we need to live our lives with the understanding. We need to live our lives with the full assurance and the understanding of what all of that entails. When Paul is talking about those who are awake and those who are asleep in Christ, that should be familiar to us because it is referencing back to chapter 4, where Paul was assuring those believers who were concerned about brothers and sisters who had died in Christ, who had died prior to the Lord's return. They were concerned because they thought that those who had died would be missing out on the glorious day of Christ's return. If we are believers, whether we yet live or have died, we will all be reunited and abide forever with the Lord. There is tremendous comfort for us in that truth. I oftentimes think of fellow brothers and sisters in Christ who have gone home, and it hurts. It hurts because I miss them terribly. I grieve because they are no longer a part of my walk here on earth. It is hard to lose those that we love. But I take comfort in the fact that I have the assurance from God, who never changes, that they are with Him, and that one day I will be with them as well. It hurts to lose. It hurts to lose people that we love, but we must not lose our certainty on the promises and in the promises of God, we must not lose the certainty of our salvation if we have it. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. In light of this knowledge that we are saved, that it was through Christ that we will not face the eternal wrath of God, and that those who are brothers and sisters in Christ will be with the Lord and with us for all eternity, comfort one another. We are a part of the body. What we have been talking about, these tremendous truths, and the comfort that is with them, we are to share that with our brothers and sisters around them, us. We are also to use this knowledge, this understanding, to edify each other, to instruct each other, both morally and intellectually. There is so much that we do not know. We do not know when Christ will return, for example. However, God has revealed all that we need to know in His Word. We know that He will return, and that those who have gone to be with Him are not going to miss out on the day of the Lord. And what a glorious and wonderful day that will be. Now we're going to shift a little bit. Under the umbrella of our sanctification, those things that we are supposed to be doing until the Lord returns, not for our salvation, but because of our salvation, because the Word of God has told us to do these things, Paul turns towards how we are to act towards those who are over us in the Lord, those who advise us, teach us, counsel us, and preach the Word of God to us. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your strength. Love your neighbors as yourself. That still applies. We are to do that as well as this. It is not one or the other. It is both. All of the above, all of the below. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Now, what does that mean? Simply, if we are saved, we are to recognize our pastor, our shepherd, and a part of our sanctification is obedience to God. He has commanded us that we are to esteem very highly in love those who work over us in the Lord. Now, this recognition is not talking about face recognition. If it were, well, that would be easy. Pastor's right there. But Paul is not talking about that sort of recognition. We are to appreciate our pastor. Now, I consider Pastor Don a friend, and I appreciate him as a friend. I appreciate him as a person, but the recognition that Paul is talking about is not talking about how I feel about Pastor Don as a person or even as a fellow believer. I am to love him as a fellow believer. That is true. But what Paul is talking about is recognizing and appreciating the fact that he has been called here by the God whom I love to be the pastor in God's church. We must be very careful that we do not take Pastor Don for granted. If we do, we are spitting in the face of God. That is God's man. God called him to be the shepherd to this flock that we are all a part of. Regardless of whether we hold him as a person in high regard, I think clearly the Bible tells us that we should, but regardless of that, we at the very least, are to hold the call and the office that he holds in the highest regard. We are to respect and admire the work that he does for the Lord. Being a pastor is hard work. Being a senior pastor, even more so. And Pastor Don works very hard. I've never seen the man stop working, and there is rarely a day that he takes off. Now, I know that there are some of you in this congregation tonight who were teachers. When I was a kid growing up, I thought, being a teacher, that's easy. Look at all the time off they've got. You work 8 to 3, 5 days a week. You've got summer vacation and weekends off. Now, where there may be a little bit of truth to that time off, there are also papers and test grade. Outside of class, there are extracurricular activities that they have to be involved in. There's the stress, and we haven't even gotten to the fact that there are all those kids. But at first glance, there is this idea that it might seem to be easy. But you look a little closer, and it's a lot of work. A lot of work that maybe was not in the hiring brochure. And I don't think that many people coast into being a teacher, and if they do, I would imagine they do not stay for very long. So too with being a pastor. You have to be called to be a pastor, or you will not last. A pastor is called upon by God to preach, to lead, to counsel, to make decisions. There are funerals, weddings, baptisms, fellowships. The list goes on and on. There are assistant pastors that you have to bring up, to train, to teach, to instruct as well. Preaching, however, is the highest priority placed upon a pastor. He must be very careful with how he handles the Word of God when he is in the pulpit. When he is anywhere, he needs to handle the Word of God carefully. But when he is in the pulpit, he is under extra scrutiny. And yet the pastor is as fallible, as human, as much a sinner as any of us. The fact that God called him is the only reason he is able to do it. And even then, it is never on his own. He is held by us, and more importantly, by God, to a very high standard. We need to recognize that office and that call. It is rarely easy to be a pastor. On top of all of these duties that we've talked about, all of the things that he is called to do, there are still obligations to family, and then maybe some time for him. Because of the work that Pastor Don has been called to do, because he is our senior pastor, we are to love, respect, and honor him, because he is God's man in God's church doing the work of God. As we are working as fellow Christians on our sanctification, this is one way to do it, and that is by obeying what God has told us to do. And finally, we are to be at peace amongst ourselves. We are to love each other as brothers and sisters in Christ, communicate with one another, be at peace with one another. Problems arise in any congregation, and I'm not saying let go and let God here. There are times when you have to bring a problem to the pastor. And I say when that happens, bring it to the pastor. Now, I'm not talking about the small, petty things that we get involved in. this person took my parking spot, or that person didn't eat the dish I brought. We are talking about the Bible. We are talking about how we interact with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Talk to each other and keep the peace. As a church family, we need to communicate with one another and to keep the peace amongst ourselves. I think that there are just times when we're afraid to talk to one another. We're afraid of offending one another. We have to get over that. If there are things that you struggle with, something in the Bible or maybe a sin in your life that you are struggling with, bring it to the pastor's attention. Pastors love you guys, and we pray for you all the time. Let us know what we can pray for specifically. One of the things that I really appreciate is that on Sunday mornings, there's always a prayer list stuck in my box from the class, one of the classes. And I love getting that because it gives me something specific that I can pray about. And I love to see the praises on there as well. It does not always have to be problems that we're praying about. A group of guys just came back from Barrikal. We love hearing those stories. I had the opportunity recently to read the testimony of someone I've known for many years in this church, but I had never, ever heard their testimony. It was so uplifting and so encouraging to see how God had moved in that person's life and how God had saved them. Tell us about the victories that you have. We want to know how you are doing in your walk with God. We want to love, encourage, and to help in all aspects of our life, in all aspects of our walk. These things that we've been talking about tonight are the things that we are supposed to be doing as Christians. Working on our sanctification, working on our relationship with God, relying on our faith to protect God's truth, as well as the assurance we have in our salvation. Highly esteem your pastor for the work that he does, and be at peace amongst yourselves. May the Lord bless you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the truth of your word. I thank you for the message. Pray that we reflect on it as the week goes on. Pray that we love one another as we are supposed to. Pray that we love you, that we spend time with you every single day. Thank you for your church. Thank you for your word. Thank you for our salvation and your grace. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.